Let's turn together now in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans, chapter 11. This morning, we are going to cover verses 25 through 32, focusing especially on verses 25 and 26. But I want to back up and begin the reading at verse 11 and continue reading to the end of the chapter. And so, Romans chapter 11, and beginning in verse 11, and before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our God and our Father, you are indeed slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy and grace toward us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, O God, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures, and that at your right hand in the heavenly places he ever lives and intercedes for us and is therefore able to save us to the uttermost. Father, we pray this morning as we hear your Scriptures read and proclaimed that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we ask this in his holy name. Amen. Romans 11, and beginning in verse 11, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of God. Now, last Sunday, I left you with a cliffhanger. And you have been kept in suspense all week wondering when I'm going to explain my interpretation of verse 26. But for the sake of those who weren't here, and in the unlikely event that you have forgotten, let me remind you of what I said. Now, Paul teaches in verse 26 that all Israel will be saved. He writes in verse 25 that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. Now, most people interpret that saying as a reference to an event that will happen in the future. At some point in the future, at a certain predetermined time in the future, God will bring about the salvation of all Israel. That's God's plan. That's what He has purposed to do, and what He will, in fact, do at some point in the future. Now, that's how most Christians, at least most evangelical Christians, interpret verse 26. All Israel will be saved is taken as a prophecy concerning a future event. And specifically, it predicts an event that coincides with or immediately precedes the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said that He would return. Christ said that He would come again. Christ is coming again at the end of the world, and until He returns, the church has been commissioned to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people, to make disciples of all nations. And ever since the first century, the church has been doing that. And as a result, the gospel has spread to all the earth. And today, there are billions of Christians around the world. And the gospel is still, in our day, being preached to the nations. And every day, people from every nation are being converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. But some Christians, and most evangelical Christians, as I noted earlier, think that Paul foresees, they think that Paul, in Romans chapter 11, specifically in verses 25 and 26, they think that Paul foresees a time when that activity of preaching the gospel to the nations will come to an end because at some point in the future, the fullness of the Gentiles will have been brought into the kingdom of God. And then, at that point, God will bring about the salvation of all Israel. Again, verse 25, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, the full number of the Gentiles has been brought into the kingdom of God, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. Now, I said that that's a very popular interpretation of this text, and one of the reasons why it is so popular is that it does, in fact, have some strong arguments in its favor. And this morning, I want to point out three arguments in particular that commend that interpretation of these verses. First of all, the context of Romans chapter 11 and the broader context of Romans chapters 9 through 11 make it clear that Israel, the word Israel, in verse 26 must refer to the Jews in distinction from the Gentiles. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, which form a unit in the book of Romans, Paul uses the word Israel 11 times. And every time, without exception, in those chapters, it refers to the Jews in distinction from the Gentiles. And in verse 25, that distinction is very clear. Look at verse 25 again. Paul says, a partial hardening has come upon Israel. There's the term. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So Israel is distinguished from the Gentiles. It is clearly distinguished there in verse 25. And since Israel is distinguished from the Gentiles in verse 25, then the word Israel in verse 26, which completes the thought of verse 25, must also refer to the Jews in distinction from the Gentiles. So in verse 25, Paul says, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way all Israel will be saved. Israel in both verses refers to the same thing, to the Jews in distinction from the Gentiles. Now, I think that particular point is true. That's the first argument in favor of the most common, the popular interpretation. That's a strong argument in its favor, and I think that particular point is in fact true. I think Israel in verse 26 is the same as Israel in verse 25, and that both occurrences of the word refer to the Jews in distinction from the Gentiles. And so I think that all Israel will be saved, verse 26, must refer to the salvation of the Jews and not to the Gentiles. And if that's the case, then John Calvin's interpretation of this particular text of Scripture is not plausible. Calvin thinks that the word Israel in verse 26 refers to the whole church. He thinks that it refers to the whole church, inclusive of believing Jews and believing Gentiles. Using the illustration of the olive tree that Paul himself uses in verses 17 through 24, all Israel, according to Calvin, refers to the whole tree. It refers to the whole olive tree, which contains, as Paul says, natural branches, which is believing Jews, and unnatural branches, which is believing Gentiles, believing Jews and believing Gentiles. And so the salvation of all Israel, according to Calvin, simply refers to the salvation of all believers, whether Jew or Gentile, who are a part of the same olive tree, because Israel, in verse 26, refers to that olive tree. Now, it is true that at least on one occasion, Paul uses the word Israel to refer to the whole church, inclusive of both Jews and Gentiles. He does so on at least one occasion, and that's in Galatians 6, verse 16, where Paul calls the church the Israel of God. The church is the Israel of God. The church, including all believers in the church, Jews and Gentiles, is the Israel of God. That's Galatians 6, 16. And so Calvin reasons that Paul uses the word Israel in the same way here in Romans 11, 26. He uses the word Israel in the same sense in 11, 26 of Romans that he does in Galatians 6, 16. Calvin reasons. Now the problem with that interpretation is that Paul consistently uses the word Israel in chapter 11 and in the preceding two chapters, which go along with it, 9, 10, and 11, Paul consistently uses the word Israel to distinguish the Jews from the Gentiles. And verse 25 makes it clear that Paul is doing just that. In the immediate context, immediately before verse 26, Paul uses Israel to distinguish the Jews from the Gentiles. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Now, that's the first argument that commends the common interpretation of verse 26, which sees it as a reference to the future conversion of ethnic Israel as a whole. All Israel will be saved refers to ethnic Israel as a whole, not necessarily to every single Israelite, every single person, every single Israelite, but Israel as a whole, Israel in mass, on a grand scale, will be saved. Now, the second argument that also commends the common interpretation is that the salvation of all Israel in verse 16, or to use the other term that Paul uses earlier back in verse 12, the fullness of Israel, all Israel in verse 26, or the fullness of Israel, verse 12, is contrasted with the salvation of the remnant of Israel in verses 1 through 10. Now, you might remember that Paul begins the chapter, Romans 11, by talking about the salvation of a remnant, the salvation of an elect remnant among the Jews. A remnant, of course, refers to a small number, a small remainder, a small number. In verse 5, Paul says, at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. These are the believing Jews, the remnant chosen by grace. And then verse 7, what then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, a right standing before God. Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it. The elect, chosen by grace, that remnant, obtained it because they believed in Christ. They trusted in Him for salvation and obtained that righteousness. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. So that's that remnant. The remnant of believing Jews were those who, believed in Christ, those who professed faith in Christ at the very beginning, and who were therefore never cut off from the olive tree. They were never removed from the olive tree. They were not those branches that were cut off because of unbelief, because they've always believed in Christ from the beginning. That's the remnant. And that remnant of Israel is contrasted with the fullness of Israel, or all Israel, verse 26, who are converted after the salvation of the remnant. And so the argument goes that the salvation of all Israel, verse 26, and the inclusion of the fullness of Israel, the full number of Israel, verse 12, cannot merely refer to the salvation and inclusion of a small minority of the Israelites, a remnant. It can't refer to that. It has to refer to more than that. To be the fullness or to be all Israel, it has to be more than that small minority. Now, that's the second argument that commends the popular interpretation, and just like the first argument, I, too, also find this one convincing. I find it persuasive. I think it is true. Now, if I find the first argument convincing and the second argument convincing, then why am I not ultimately convinced of this popular interpretation? Why am I not persuaded of it? Well, it has to do with the third argument. The third argument is based primarily on the timing of this, when this occurs. And the third argument is based especially on the word until in verse 25. So look back at verse 25 once again, and notice how Paul puts it. Verse 25, he says, "A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way all Israel will be saved." Now, that word, until, suggests that that partial hardening of Israel is only temporary. It's not only partial, not only partial in the sense that not all of the Israelites were hardened, but some of the Israelites were hardened. It's also temporary. The word until suggests that it is a temporary phenomenon, that partial hardening is only temporary. And therefore, at some point in the future, it will come to an end. And then, at that point, after the hardening has ended, God will then bring about the salvation of all Israel. And since the word until is interpreted that way, people have a tendency to misread the first words of verse 26. They really have a tendency to misread them, to read them as if it said something that it doesn't actually say. Look at it again. In verse 25, Paul says that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way all Israel will be saved. In this way, the first words of verse 26, as the English Standard Version has them, is translated, "and so," in some translations, the King James Version, the New King James Version, "and so all Israel will be saved." People tend to read that as saying, "and then." And then all Israel will be saved. Look at it again. A partial hardening, this is 25, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and then, after that, all Israel will be saved. Well, the problem with that interpretation is that the Greek words at the beginning of verse 26 never refer to temporal sequence. Never do they refer to a temporal sequence. They don't mean, "and then, after that, something else will happen." They don't mean, "and then, after that, all Israel will be saved." The phrase means, "in this way." It means, "in this manner." Specifically, in the manner, or the way, that God has chosen to use to bring about the salvation of all Israel. God will bring about the salvation of all Israel in the way, or the manner, that He has chosen to do so. And what is that way specifically? What mode or method or manner has God chosen to use to bring about the salvation of all Israel? Well, the salvation of all Israel comes about by means of the salvation of the fullness of the Gentiles. Again, verse 25, and go back to the first of the verse. Paul says, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way, by this means, through this method or means, all Israel will be saved." Now that's the mystery that God reveals to Paul. The mystery is the mode by which God saves all Israel. The mystery is the method. The mystery is the means. The mystery is the means that God uses to save all Israel. And what is that means? The salvation of the Gentiles. God uses the salvation of the Gentiles to bring about the salvation of all Israel. So Paul has come to see a certain method in God's way of dealing with Jews and Gentiles. God uses one group to save the other. He uses one group to bring about the salvation of the other. He used the unbelief, the trespass, the disobedience of Israel to bring about the salvation of the Gentiles, and then he uses the faith of the Gentiles to bring about the salvation of all Israel. That's the mystery. That's the way. That's the manner. That's the means God uses. And that's what Paul is talking about in all of these verses. And one more thing about verse 25. That word until in verse 25 does not necessarily mean that after the fullness of the Gentiles has been realized, the partial hardening of Israel will be lifted, and as a result of that removal of that hardening, Israel as a whole will be converted. Rather, the word until does not refer to a new situation that will exist at some point in the future, but it refers to a situation that existed in Paul's day, that exists in our day, and that will continue to exist all the way up to the very end of the world when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the end of the age. In other words, the word until a partial hardening has happened to Israel or has come upon Israel, until, the word until does not imply a new beginning after a termination point in time. It does not imply that. But it refers rather to the prevailing circumstance for Israel until the end of time, when Christ comes back. So the partial hardening of Israel will continue right up until the full number of the Gentiles, that is the total number of the Gentiles whom God has chosen to save, have been saved, have been brought into the kingdom. And that coincides with the end of the world. That coincides with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the total number of the elect Gentiles has been gathered in, it will be the end. It will be the end of the world. In fact, the word until could be, and I think should be, translated in verse 25, while. Verse 25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel while the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, not and then after that, but in this way, all Israel will be saved. In this way, in what way? In the way Paul is describing in verses 11 through 32. So the third argument in favor of the most popular view, I think, is the problem. I think it misinterprets the word until in verse 25, and it places the salvation of all Israel in an exclusively future time. At some predetermined point in time, when God has finished saving the Gentiles, God will then turn his attention back to Israel, and then, at that time, all Israel, meaning in one generation, the Israelites living in one generation, specifically the generation immediately preceding the second coming of Christ, there will be a mass conversion of the Israelites. So it pushes the salvation of all Israel way off into the future, right before the end of the world. And that, I think, contradicts what Paul says in this chapter. When Paul gives a time frame for when God will bring about the salvation of all Israel, he does not push it off into the future, at the end of the world, right before Christ returns. Paul, in fact, says at least twice explicitly in this text that God is bringing about the salvation of all Israel now. And that's the term he uses specifically in verse 31. Look down at verse 30. Now, Paul is still addressing the believing Gentiles in the church in verse 30, and here's what he says to them. For just as you, the Gentile believers in the church, for just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience. When had the Gentiles received mercy? Now, in Paul's day. They had received God's saving mercy. But look at verse 31. So they too have now been disobedient. When are the unbelieving Jews being disobedient? Now, in Paul's day. So they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, notice what he says, they also may now receive mercy. Not at some point in the future. Now. God is bringing about the salvation of the fullness of Israel now, simultaneously, while he's bringing about the salvation of the fullness of the Gentiles. And indeed, he's using the salvation of the fullness of the Gentiles to bring about the salvation of the fullness of Israel now. Both are occurring now, at this time, and not at some point in the future. They're not separated in time. Now, if you go back to verse 11, you will see that this interpretation, I believe, is borne out. It is confirmed by what Paul says at the beginning of this section in verse 11, where he starts to address this particular issue. In verse 11, Paul makes it clear in verses 11 through 14 that God is bringing about the salvation of the fullness of Israel, or all Israel, in his own ministry, through his own ministry to the Gentiles. God is provoking the Jews to jealousy in order to bring about their salvation. So Paul says in verse 11, "So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall?" The unbelieving Jews, did they stumble in order that they might fall? Paul's answer is by no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. That's the mystery, how God is going to do this, how God is going to save Israel. What way, what manner, and in this way, or this manner, verse 26, what way? In this way, God will use the salvation of the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy and save them. And in this way, he brings about the salvation of all Israel. But when is this happening? It's happening in Paul's own ministry. Verse 12, Paul says, "Now if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fullness, their full inclusion, mean?" That's the salvation of all Israel. "Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them." God was bringing about the salvation of the fullness of Israel through Paul's own ministry to the Gentiles. The mystery is not that there will be a mass revival of the Israelites right before Christ returns. The mystery is that God is using the salvation of the Gentiles to bring the Jews to jealousy now, or Jews to jealousy and salvation now. So God was adding to that elect remnant of believing Jews. When Christ appeared, some of the Jews believed in him. Some of the Jews were never broken off through unbelief. Some of them were never removed from that olive tree. But God was bringing about the salvation of the fullness, and thereby adding to that elect remnant of believing Jews. He was doing that in Paul's day. He's been doing that throughout the entire history of the church. He's doing it in our day, and he will continue to do that until the very end of the world, when he will have brought in the fullness of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Jews, and then comes the end. Now, it is not therefore the salvation of all Israel is not confined to a single generation of Israelites. It's spread out. Just like the salvation of the fullness of the Gentiles is spread out through church history, the salvation of the fullness of the Jews is as well. And they are occurring simultaneously. Now, this interpretation, I believe, is in keeping with the Great Commission and with the rest of Scripture. The Great Commission envisions the preaching of the gospel to the nations right up to the end of the age. It does not envision a time when the nations will no longer be evangelized and God will have been finished his program of saving the nations and will turn back to the Jews. And there's nowhere else in Scripture that envisions the end of the evangelism of the nations. The gospel goes forth to all nations right up to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that is precisely what Paul is teaching in our text this morning.